Hi, I'm Blue, your host and coach helping you create the life and business of your dreams. Welcome back to The Journey with Blue. The one thing that is true about this life is that we can't control everything, but what we can control is how we respond to life. Today's conversation will leave you inspired and empowered. In this conversation with real estate investor and one of my friends from college, Miles Berrio, he shares how in a life-altering accident, a drunk driver took his leg, but not his dream, and how even in the face of life's most difficult situations, you can forgive and overcome. Miles.
I love it.
It's been so long.
I know.
I haven't seen you in forever.
I know.
And I know you were coming, when you were walking in, you were saying your wife Denise was like, who's Michelle?
Yeah,
how do you know Michelle?
I know.
And I mean, we have such a like a random meeting and connection.
Yeah.
Because we both went to UGA, but I don't think we were there at the same time.
Yeah, that's because when you said that, I was like, I don't remember us like hanging out or like going to, you know, I'm trying to figure out how that happened. Do you know like what, was it an event that we went to and met?
So like I said, after I graduated, I started my business and was doing that. So I was like really deep into the entrepreneurship space and world. And then you were still in college at the time, but you were not really in college because you were like traveling and taking on like all these like major business deals. And people were just like some of my friends that were still at Georgia were like, you should connect with Miles. And it like just kept coming up, Miles, and I'm like, who is Miles?
That's so funny.
Everyone was like, he's just like this, you know, serial entrepreneur. He's had all these businesses. And so I do think it was Brian Wish's event in Athens.
What? Yeah, I think I know. Yeah.
Yes.
It was like just some kind of industrial warehouse venue thing. He was speaking or some other, it was something like that. Yeah.
And so we actually met then. And from there we like just connected and we met up in Alpharetta, like it was like at some lake and we were just having conversations.
I remember that, yeah. But didn't I do photos at that lake?
No, I didn't do photos then. Okay. This was even prior
this
to your photos.
That. Wow,
yes.
That's so crazy.
So a long time ago, like I didn't even, you were talking about Gary Vaynerchuk. I didn't know who Gary V was at the time. You were like, Michelle and
that's true.
Miles. I mean, you have the biggest energy. You've always had the biggest energy, you know, like literally
that's my hope that like, people feel, you know, an energy.
You are felt in every room that you go into. And so we connected and then like you were doing all this work, like you said, your photography. What were some of the other projects that you worked on? I know you said like you did photography for Netflix and Love is Blind.
Yeah, well before, so I was doing marketing consulting before that. So I was just working with different brands and helping them just like create a content around like how to connect with their clients. You know, I mean, I think that's always the biggest challenge for companies is like, how do we tell a story that engages people in and connects and, you know, anyway, so all the different funnels and creating a community and all that stuff. So that's what I did. But then even before that, it was really network marketing. So I was really kind of training, teaching people like communication, just sales in general, and really personal development. It was almost like a just like a personal development mastery class, because it's not really about anything that you particularly do like on the physical side. So whether you're like selling yourself, whether you're selling products, whether you're selling service, whatever it's like, mindset is always like 90% of whatever that result is going to be.
Right.
If people can understand that my exterior is really just a result of the interior, people will just start focusing internally more.
Right.
Rather than focusing on how do I get the exterior, you know, a lot of people obviously focus on that. So,
and that's all the stuff that you were talking about to me, which I don't think I was like in that world yet. Like I wasn't in that headspace. Like you were putting me on game on a lot of things. And so, like I said, I was always inspired. I was always like, man, like Miles is up to big things. You always had these amazing projects and doing really cool stuff. And you also, you actually left college because you had so much like opportunities that just like made more sense for you.
Right. Yeah.
And then I think I just like time. Like I went to New York.
That's
and
right.
So then we probably didn't talk as much.
Yes, I do remember.
But of course social media keeps us connected enough.
Right.
And I guess it was 2020. I'm going to say, I feel like it was like 2020 around this time, like August. And I was going through Instagram and I saw you post a picture of you in a hospital bed.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Okay, yeah.
You're like, interesting.
No, because it's just, you know, man, you're like following someone or just like, you know, we're kind of in contact somewhat through social media here and there, but then you just see this photo of someone in the hospital, and it's, I'm sure it was pretty bad. But
yeah, and I mean, it was a picture of you in the hospital bed, bad. Which is always like startling. What's going on? Like, is Miles okay?
Yeah.
And you had all the like the slides of like the car accident.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Yeah.
And you shared that you had to amputate your leg.
Yeah.
And for me, in that moment, I could have broken down and cried for you.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, this is life-changing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is, I mean, like, this is something that you see in movies.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
you never expect is going to happen to you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I felt like right. after I even saw that, like, I told so many people, like, oh, my gosh. Like, I was on Instagram and I just found out my friend, like, was in this, you know, terrible accident. He just lost his leg. Like, right before this accident, you had just gotten married.
Yeah, yeah.
You had just had a baby.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm just crazy. Like, wow. Like, who could have told you that this would have happened to you in your life?
I know. So wild.
And I mean, you're like, so wild. I'm like, yeah, I was just, blown.
Yeah,
I was
blown. I mean, it's true. I mean, I think it goes back to, and we can, you know, kind of dive into that if we really need to right now, but it just goes back to kind of my faith and just like how I think about life, right? Like the reality is as a believer, you know, we think like, okay, I believe in God, I'm a Christian. That means, you know, everything should be good, right? Like bad things shouldn't really happen to me. And it's like, you know, we can dive into that whole mindset and philosophy of what that really means. And I'm just thankful that I was really rooted in my faith because that is, you kind of like, don't think this would happen to you. And even more ironically, cause I used to say even funny, but it's not really funny. But kind of ironically, I don't drink. I don't like alcohol. I don't drink for reasons like this. So imagine someone who's like, you know, a husband, a father, he's out doing great things. You know, I could have been messing around all these things and like, I don't drink alcohol and I'm just like out, just serve, just do it. And then like, my life changes from a drunk driver. It's like,
yeah.
What?
So you know, tell me, I mean, paint that picture because I don't know much of like what the actual day and what that moment was and how that felt for you.
Yeah, it was in... unfortunately, and I mean, it is what it is. You kind of like, it's all somewhat of a blur because, I mean, your body just kind of shuts down and it's just a traumatic incident. But essentially from what I remember, it's so funny because my wife tells the story way back because obviously she just saw it. Everything was just from her perspective. But for me, I just remember that day. First of all, like I like going to the gym. I like to stay fit. You know, it's obviously a big part of just mindset. It's just your health, your fitness. So anyway, I hadn't gone to the gym in like 3 to 4 days. And I know probably some people are like, oh my gosh, 3 to 4 days. But it's true. I mean, I honestly try to hit the gym pretty regularly. So 3 to 4 days. I mean, you feel, if that's like a part of your routine, you kind of feel that. And you're like, you're just like, man, I haven't been to the gym. So anyway, I was like working and doing a bunch of stuff, but I just got back home. And I just remember I was like going through the garage. And I was like, man, you know, like it was like the weekend. I think it was closer to like Friday or Saturday. I was like, let me ask my wife, because I never go to the gym at night. It's always just like a thing mindset-wise. You know, imagine the first thing you do when you wake up is something you don't want to do.
Yeah.
And just go to the gym. Most people don't want to go to the gym. And that's why I always tell people, I don't care what industry you're in. I don't care what you're doing. Every single person should have fitness a part of their life because it's less about what the body looks like after you work out. It's more so about the mindset of the journey it takes you there, right? Journey, right? The journey with Blue. I mean, it's everything's about that journey. So anyway, long story short, I asked my wife. I was like, you know, can I just go to the gym? I know it's like late. It's, you know, or it was like 6 o'clock, six or seven o'clock. And I was like, can I just run to the gym for like 15, 20 minutes? Let me just go to the gym.
And she's at home with the baby.
And like I said, generally I just, you know, I stay home. We'll just hang out. But she knew. I mean, she's like, yeah, go ahead. It's totally fine. I hadn't been in the gym for a while. And it's just crazy. You just never know any moment. So it was just a normal day. I just, you know, got in the car. I was just going to the gym. You would never think, okay, this is the day, or literally in 2 to 3 hours, my whole life is, you just don't think that. But anyway, I went to the gym, worked out for a little bit. And I mean, it was just a normal thing. I just got in the car. It was driving home. I mean, if anything, I even thought the day was over. I'd hit the gym. It's late at night. Like, all right, we're good. You know, I'm coming home. And nope, that was the start, the beginning of like just chaos. I mean, anyway, so I was driving and I was on the phone with a friend of mine, Milton, actually, which is another kind of long, that's a whole nother story. It's crazy because it was traumatic for him because he was on the phone with me, so he heard the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
And the phone actually flew to the side of the car or to the other passenger side. So he just heard everything, and he was still on the phone, and it was just like so traumatic for him too, but I can only imagine. But anyway, yeah, I'm just talking normally, like I'm talking with him, just doing my thing, and then just smack, like just like crazy crash. You don't hear anything. You know, he's just miles, you know, it's like a movie.
Yeah.
And then I don't really remember much. Obviously, you know, so first of all, the lady was driving 90 miles per hour, so she was drunk driving 90 miles per hour. And it's not we're not making that up. I actually didn't know this. My wife told me this, is that the speedometer, actually the way they design it is, when there's a crash, it actually freezes. So that when there are accidents like that, that they can see and know, yeah, like this is actually what you were driving. So apparently I was under the speed limit. It was like, I think it was a 35, and I was under that. I was like in 31, 32, but she was going 90 miles per hour. So, and then just head on, just straight on 90 miles per hour. So I immediately, of course, just blacked out. I mean, my whole body was crushed in the car. The only thing I do remember, and it's weird because I have like dreams about it here and there, is I do remember there were like blue lights. It felt like a dream because I don't know, all of a sudden you're just like seeing things and your brain doesn't really like understand that you're like you're really like alive. It's not like, or not alive, but this is like real life. You're not like dreaming, but you just think, I guess, you're dreaming. Cause I saw like a lot of blue and red, but obviously my mom, I'm like, why is there all this blue and red? So I don't really understand what's going on. So I black out again a little bit. And then the only thing I really remember, this is like the two things, is I remember kind of like my whole, like my leg, this turned sideways back, my ankles flipped up, my arm crushed, the bone came out. I mean, I'm just like all in the car like this.
Wow. You see this.
So I don't see that. What I feel, I just feel obviously totally just like uncomfortable, crushed in a weird way. The only thing I remember is just me saying like, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. And just like blood coming down my mouth. And just keep saying, I just remember, that's like what I always remember. I just remember saying, because I think at that moment, I actually thought I was like gonna die. Like I thought I was gonna die because I couldn't breathe. And it felt like I was just about to die. So I think I just kept saying that, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. Like I was trying to like, can anyone hear me? Yeah. I can't breathe. And then I finally heard this girl that was by the door. So I lied. There's three things. So I remember me saying, I can't breathe a lot. And then there was this girl that just said, Miles, stay with me. Stay with me, Miles, stay with me. I do remember that. And then I think I remember blacking out a little bit again. And then the last time I think I woke up again, because I think it was so loud, is I remember hearing like, ka, 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 ka. And you couldn't even get to me. You had to rip like the whole ceiling of the car, and they had to have a crane and rip the whole car out. And then I blacked out again after that. But essentially, yeah, that's all I remember from that. Obviously, everyone else around just saw everything from every minute, every second, you know, but that I just remember those three things.
Yeah.
And then I do, I know it sounds a little cliche, but it is kind of like a movie. I do remember being on the bed and you're like, you see
the lights,
you know,
yeah.
You're just like, you don't know what's going on. You just see the lights and then you're just kind of going in and out or whatever. So I do remember finally, getting to a place where I was like actually just coherent, like I could just open my eyes and I could just look and see and kind of think a little bit. But at that moment, if I'm not mistaken, when I woke up, I was being asked about my leg, because everything was time, like everything was time sensitive. I just remember finally really being conscious, but then at that moment being asked about amputating my leg.
So
it's funny because my wife has a whole perspective of, and she talks about it like, and first of all, my mom served 22 years in the military, Army. I grew up like military. I mean, my mom, I don't even think I've ever seen her cry, really ever. Maybe once. I mean, she's just one of those moms. You just don't see it. They're just
like
so,
badass,
she's always strong, just
like,
never.
Yeah.
But my wife actually said that her and my mom were actually like really kind of, they lost it because they didn't know how I would take the fact that my leg was gonna have to be amputated, because that changes I mean, everyone knows Miles. Like, you say, oh, Miles is this guy. Mm-hmm. But then imagine this happening, and now you're disabled. You have this leg amputated. No leg. You're like, I mean, that you may not be that same person.
Yes.
Yeah, so they're really worried about that.
Say you have to amputate your leg.
Yeah, I know. It's just my wife. I know you guys talked a little bit yesterday. She was just so surprised by my response. But she said,
what was your response?
Like, yeah, I mean, I was just like, I mean, all right. I mean, we got to do what we got to do. I was like, we just got to make it happen.
We got to do what we got to do.
Yeah, I mean, just
my leg, just, like,
yeah, make it happen. You know,
gotta make it happen.
let's go.
What, Mouse?
I know.
Who?
It's crazy.
That's crazy. I mean, that's literally insane.
Yeah, I know.
We gotta make it happen because, I mean, this is your leg we're talking about.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
And I had a car accident when I was in high school. Mm. Nothing as like traumatic as this, but I had a car accident and I was T-boned. A lady was speeding. Oof. She T-boned me in my passenger's door. And very similarly, it was all very murky situation. Like, they couldn't pull me out of my driver's door. They had to pull me out from my passenger's side, and then like I had to go to like a special hospital that, you know, handles trauma. And I'm in the hospital and they're like cutting my pants off of me, right? So at this time, these were like express pants, which are like $100, right? And I'm in high school and I'm like in my 11th grade year. So these are like $100 pants. I'm like,
hilarious.
What? You're cutting my pants?
That is
like,
so funny.
And then, so I'm like asking these very trivial questions because they're saying like, you know, you fractured your hip. And I'm like, will I be able to walk? Yeah. Will I be able to wear heels again? Like, this is the stuff that I'm thinking about. I mean, I'm like, my whole world is crumbling right in front of me because they're telling me I fractured my hip and I'm not gonna walk for a couple months. I thought that was like, what? My pants are gone. I won't be able to wear heels. I won't be able to go to school. Like, that was the end of my life for me.
Yeah.
And you're telling me that they said we have to cut off your leg, and you said, all right, we gotta do what we have to do.
Yeah.
That's a different type of person. I am not that person.
Yeah, no, I know. It's interesting, yeah.
I'm not sure when you actually shared that with the world, but what was that process for you?
Yeah, and I don't, again, it's all somewhat of a blur. You know, your mind obviously just works in the best way it can to protect you. So obviously a lot of these moments are kind of just put behind me in a little bit. but I think after that, my wife says this, so yes, obviously I was very much okay, like, you know, all right, let's just do it. But I did have concerns about, like, who was going to do the amputation, which is kind of, I guess, weird. Again, most people might be, like, you know, freaking out that they have to get their leg amputated. I was just more so concerned, like, all right, you doing it, or who's doing it?
Who's
so,
the best person in this
exactly.
room?
And that's actually what I asked. My wife, she says that I asked, because I think at that point I had a feeding tube. I had a bunch of stuff going on. Because, I mean, I'm on survival mode. I mean, this is, you know, trauma patient. So I think I remember, like, I was saying, you know, if you were going to be the one, or who would you have do the amputation? I think I asked the doctor that. And then they recommended, so the doctor that was going to originally do it, that was recommended for it, could no longer do it. And I was a little worried. And I'm like, oh my gosh, they're probably gonna like call whoever's
the B team.
Whoever's available. I'm like, and it's like amputating my leg. I'm like, yo, this is, oh man. So I asked him. I said, okay, the person that you're recommending, because he had already came with me with the solution that, hey, I'm not gonna be able to do this, but this person is gonna do it. And I said, well, would you let that person amputate your leg? And he actually said, I would rather them do it than even me. Mm-hmm. They're like an excellent, and it actually, hindsight's 2020, because looking back, it was actually one of the best things, because that doctor amputated my leg actually in a way that most amputees don't actually get amputated, and it's called through knee. So I have what's called a through knee amputation, so I actually still have the bone here.
Okay.
And it actually, it's not the most common amputation, because most people, they get amputated through, like, you know, diabetic, and it's like below the knee, because the idea is you want to save as much of your leg kind of thing. So most people are cut like down here or maybe down there, the foot, or, you know, some cases it's like the, up here, the thigh, but not very many people just get to have it right in it, like right through the knee. So that, that there's the two bones that are here, it's right in the middle. So I still have that bone that's on the top. And the reason why that's important is because it actually helps with basically just stability. You know, I mean, it's what do they call it? You basically can put weight on it. Okay. Because if you like, you know, cut here, that's not really designed to like be on the ground, you know, but any of us could just, you know, like we're praying, get on our knees. Right. We say get on our knees, okay. You know, because your so knees are designed to actually bear weights. It's a weight bearing platform. So it helps with recovery a little bit to be able to have that to where, you know, it's, you know, it's a hard bone. So that helped a little bit. But anyway, but long story short, that it worked out.
Even in that, it worked in your favor.
Yeah, that exactly. That worked out in the sense that they were great, because, you know, amputations are surgery. So things can go wrong, and there have, you know, been people that just didn't work, you know, didn't work out the best. But they did a great job with the amputation itself. Very, very, extremely, extremely ridiculously, very painful. Just the I mean, it's obviously cutting the leg off, and there's all these stitches, and there's all these bandages, and there's actually a bunch of machines called wound vacs. That I actually had the most amount of wound vacs that they've seen really in general. They actually had to learn a lot of things with me, which is so wild too, that my accident was like one of the worst accidents. Because basically, yeah, if you go on my social media and I document everything, you can see the photo where every limb is covered. So it's not normal that they have someone come in where every single limb is fully wrapped.
Because it was your leg,
yeah, because most people know my leg. Most people go like, oh, he got amputated. But there's actually many more. It's actually fun. It was not funny. This is actually my most prized. This thing is easy. I mean, all day I could be on it. This is like the most simple thing. Uh-huh. It's everything else that's actually always painful, always hurting, that, because most people don't see, they just, you know, because you're an amputee, they just see the leg. But actually, as you can see, I have this leg brace. And sometimes you can't see it because it's black. But so
I didn't see that.
Yeah,
before.
So this is actually a brace. It's called an AFO, and if I don't have this on, my foot just drops. So I can't even move my foot anymore. So this is like a plate that goes in the shoe and goes up that I have to put on every time, and it keeps your foot at somewhat of a 90-degree angle. So when you're walking, it keeps your toes up, because without it, my foot just, I lost all muscle. So it just flops. You trip over and just be horrible. And then usually I have this kind of open, it doesn't matter, but I kind of just have been putting this on just heat-wise and just kind of protect. But yeah, but you can't even see it, but this is like totally gnarly. It's so bad. I mean, most people think I'm like, you know, was in a fire, like a burn victim, because this is all burn looking at skin graft, but there's a huge chunk of my arm, I can actually press in, a huge chunk of that's actually removed because, you know, the elbow went out and, you know, this twisted out. I mean, it's all kinds of crazy. So I can't move my fingers much anymore. They're all kind of swollen. So this keeps it. Yeah. So there's a lot of other injuries than just, you know, obviously, you know, my amputation and, yeah, every limb, even here, all these skin grafts. So there's those two holes. I don't know if you can see. Mm-hmm. There were screws that were actually poking out. I remember getting those taken out. It was like a movie. That was nasty. They literally just had to get like a tweezer and just like pull out this nail out of your and you don't go to sleep for it, because it's not something they're gonna like put you to sleep just to do that. You literally just have to get that taken out. So those two screws were there because the wrist broke, and then, you know, the skin graft here, just essentially just taking skin from other areas and skin grafting that. Yeah, so there, I mean, there was, I mean, yeah,
right, every so limb much was, more and I didn't
was just, yeah,
and obviously I'm here with you in person, right, and I saw you come up and I didn't see
most people
all
know,
of this, and like you said, you're in your leg that's amputated, that's the easiest
this
thing
is,
for
oh,
you
yeah, this thing is, dude, it's amazing,
right?
Yeah,
I mean, and so like I said, shortly after I saw it on social media, the first initial post.
Yes.
And then you opened up your complete journey of this to the world, to your community. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you got thousands, tens of thousands of people coming in and supporting you and praying for you and, you know, giving you like kind of that energy, that love for you to, to keep going, because the accident, the, you know, the surgeries, then there's the rehab, which is a whole nother process.
That was rough. Dude.
Right.
That was rough.
And then you also have to get back to life.
You gotta get back to life. Yeah.
And when I say it was like boom, 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 I know, Miles is now leading his real estate class. Like,
oh my gosh,
I was like, what?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Who is, I'm still like, who is this person?
Yeah.
Because like I said, this is an incident. This is a moment that did change your life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you could have completely handled this different.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And let's talk about that. I mean, let's talk about that, right? So, you know, because I get that question all the time, right? Like, how did you get through this? How did you persevere? Like, the mindset of it. And yeah, let's go through this, right? So, number one, the first thing I always say, well, first of all, for me, yes, my faith. Like, that's just, it is what it is. It's not me trying to convince someone you need to believe in Jesus, you need to be a Christian. Like, it is what saved me through this. Like, you have to have some kind of foundation. There's no way you can come up with your own ideology of why things happen. You just don't know. You're a human living on this planet. It's just so big, much bigger than you. This doesn't make sense. So because of my faith, what it allowed me to do, and having a real, and this is my, you know, might sting some people, but a real faith, not an emotional faith, where mm-hmm. I like to say that a lot of times we are Christians that run off of what feels good, right? So we go to church and it's, you know, worship music and I'm bobbing, it's good. And, you know, there's so many Christians that, like, you know, when it's good, right? But the reality is, it's like Job, right? When something happens, it's like, okay, are you really going to be praising the Lord? You know, are you really going to still have that mindset? So for me, my faith is centered around the fact, two things. Number one, first of all, like I said, I don't drink. So there's the irony in that. Like, I don't drink, I don't like drink alcohol, and then I get hit by a drunk driver. I'm the one, you know, there's so many people that you could know in your life. Most people don't go through this, but I go through this. Come on, guy. That's the first thing is you go like, bro, really? Come on, dude. Like, this happened to me?
Why me?
That doesn't make sense, right? Right, so two things happen generally when that happens. Either A, you go, why me? This is not fair, and you get upset. Anyone would totally, you know, validate the fact that someone's
upset.
And I'm upset,
like, yes,
angry.
I'm upset. Allow you to be upset.
Right. You'd be like,
as
oh,
long
yeah, okay.
as you want to be
right.
upset.
You're like, bro, look at
I'm
you.
Not going to rush you through
yeah,
that process.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
I get it.
Right. So anyone would validate that or support that, right? So that's what happens. Either A, you just kind of get upset and you're like, you just almost lose your faith. You're like, this doesn't even make sense. Like, I'm a believer and this happened to me. Like, this doesn't even make sense, right? The other thing that happens, And I get why people do this, but you I always say this, you have to just make sure, as a believer, anything that you say and are believing, that it actually aligns with the character of God. And what I mean by that is, a lot of times we'll hear people say, you know, there's that quote, you know, the Lord gives his biggest battles to his strongest soldiers. You know what I mean? And it's like a feel good thing, because it makes it seem like I'm
good.
So dope. Like, and that's what it does. It points back to me. It's like, I'm so big, like the Lord gives his biggest battles to his strongest soldier. I'm so strong. I'm so amazing. You know, that this happened to me, which is the third thing that doesn't align with the Lord, is that he did this to me. Because if it's, he gives his biggest battle, like, it's like the Lord did this to me. Miles is so inspiring, so amazing. Like, this had to be given to Miles because he's going to change life. Like, that's not true, and that's not good, because what it's insinuating is that the Lord did this to me for some greater experience, to get people to, like, love God and to understand who God is. And it's just not true, because that's not how the Lord shows his love for his children, is by doing this to me. And also, if you want to take it a step further, someone might be like, I think here's another reason why that's not true, because you got to look at the whole story. So if the Lord did this to me, right, I'm so dope, amazing, and the Lord giving his biggest battles to strong shoulders, that means he had to be a part of the girl's life. That means she was the one drinking. Mm-hmm. So you're saying the Lord, that was a part of the story too? He put the bottle in her hand to drink, because that's how I got this way.
Yeah.
You can't ignore that part. So he was a part of that too? Dude, come on, obviously not. Jesus is not, the Lord's not, didn't put the bottle in her hand because she's like, you know, he's going to create the story where she's going to be drunk and then smash in my car. Like, come on, that is obviously not the story. So where does that lie then? Right? It's like, okay, it doesn't make sense to be angry at God. It doesn't make sense to think that God did this to me. So what does this mean? What it means is, we live in a broken world. If you're a believer and you read the Bible and you know the story of Christ, at the end of the day, that is the we live in a broken world. We live in a fallen world. Just because I believe in God doesn't make me exempt from the sins of this world, from the debt. I mean, we live in a broken world. There's sin, there's disease, there's, you know, there's all kinds of things that, yeah, just because I love God, like, okay, so now I'm none of this is ever going to happen to me. Mm-hmm. Nothing bad is ever going to happen to me. Dude, that's not the life that we live here on this earth. The life that we live on here on this earth is, we are to be a light right? We are to serve the Lord by loving God and loving others. So while we're here on this earth, we love others through our servitude to other people despite these things that happen. So the other half of the story is, despite these things happening, her, the girl who hit me, and again, this is not me being all, oh, I'm so cool and boastful. And I don't need to like even lie. Everyone sees my life and I'm not making this up. This is me, right? Like, I have never felt anything negative towards her. How could I feel negative towards her? How? Because at the end of the day, here's why, again, this only happens if you have the faith. The faith is the foundation. If you don't have that, then there are things that will happen mentally for you and in your heart. There's no way I could be angry at her or not have forgiveness, because if I'm a believer, then I'm supposed to understand what forgiveness is, because the Lord forgave me for our sins.
Yeah.
So here's the interesting thing. She didn't wake up saying, I'm going to drink alcohol and I'm going to go smash his car and destroy this kid's life. Dude, it was what? An accident. It was a mistake. She was dealing with whatever mentally and emotionally, the way she felt like she needed to at that time. Obviously, I'm not, you know, condone, like, that's the way you need to do it. I'm saying she chose to go that route. It was a mistake, obviously, even on her part. I mean, this is not like she just walked away either. It was a mistake. So she made a mistake. Now, if she made a mistake, myself, yes, I have maybe never put someone in the hospital to get their leg amputated, but I'm sure anybody in this room, you, anybody, we all could agree we've amputated someone mentally. We've amputated someone emotionally. We've amputated someone. So we've done amputations to other people. It may not be the same thing. It doesn't need to be the same thing. The reality is we've made mistakes. We've hurt people unintentionally. Would we not want them to forgive us? Doesn't matter what it is, because you wouldn't want to argue, you know, whether it, you know, this or that. You would just want to be forgiven, right? Yeah. Like, please forgive me, right? So it's the same thing. You got to extend the same thing. So I immediately just forget. There's no way I could feel anything. I have to have forgiveness for. I've never felt, and it's so, and that's why it's so amazing to have this faith in Christ, because it allows you to live free. It has never affected me the way I lived my life after, because I was freed from that. It's almost like what we say is forgiveness is really not even for that person. It's really for yourself. Mm-hmm. So you're not in this bondage of where the enemy wants you to be, which is not, you're not mobile. You're not able to move. You're not able to go to the next level because you're still stuck on what happened.
Right.
And it's not about what happens to you. It's about what you do with what happens to you. So if you forgive this person, you're freed, because you're like, I don't feel anything. Like, look, I get it. I mean, it sucks. Like, it's not, I mean, I don't want this, but hey, it happened. You know, we move now. It's, what are we going to do now? Let's move forward. But see, most people stay in that space for many years, sometimes for the rest of their life. We know people 40s, 50s, 60s, they're angry to this person or that person. They haven't forgiven this person. And it's, dude, if the Lord wanted you to stay where you were, he would give you roots, not feet, right? Like, you are not a tree. You can move forward, right? But that's the mental, so that's the spiritual side of that, of being able to kind of move forward in that.
And so, you're way more evolved than I am, right? Like, I don't have the same spiritual foundation and fortitude, because I feel like if this would have happened to me, I would have been upset with the girl.
Oh yeah, of course.
I would have been, again, questioning God. Like,
of course.
I'm here in this life. I'm showing up. I'm doing,
right,
you know, great, trying to live this life for you, trying to do good by my family, good by, like, my purpose, all this stuff. And for something like this to happen to me, it's like, why me?
Why me?
Here's why do you take this
why not
from me?
You? Why not you? Now, I'm not trying to put this on anything,
right?
But the question is why not you? Why not me? Why do I get to be exempt from things like this happening? See, that is the difference, and that's the faith that I'm teaching my kids and my family, is that it's not about being good, and because you're good, you get this. It's about you serving, being a light in this world, despite what happens, because what happens, happens.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens. Things will happen. There, you obviously have never gone through an amputee, but you've probably had some stuff that you're just like, bro, what the heck?
I still get my little busted hip.
Exactly. There are things that happen to you that's like, that's not fair, because it's life. Yeah. It will happen. There is no one on this planet that will be exempt from this. Even if someone maybe had a, you know, pretty easy going life in a lot of different ways, and they've never had any kid, maybe crazy, crazy traumatic thing, but they've gone through things that are challenges still. There's just no one who can run away from that. So the question isn't why not me? Why did this happen to me? The question is why not you? What makes you so big and bad
so special,
that these things don't happen?
Mm-hmm.
So if anything, how about you use this and let someone else who, because everyone's always watching somebody, especially nowadays, let it be a reason why someone else doesn't give up. Let it be a reason why someone else doesn't stay down because they see your life and they get encouraged, they get empowered. You know, that's what it means to be a light, right? A light, this whole space and room could be so dark. This room, this is a big spot. We could turn every light off, close every window, and all I have to do is get a little candle and go, or get a little light, and that thing, you could be all the way in the other side of a building. You'll see that little thing right there. Yeah. You'll see it right there. Because people, we don't understand the power of light, man. Mm. And that's the Bible. Let there be light. There's power in being a light. So anyway.
And I love that. And I mean, it's so simple. My mom would always say this. It's like, you know, life is like 20% of what happens to you, 80% of how you respond.
Yep.
Because in that 20% of life, it's out of our control.
Oh, yeah.
But we do get to control how we show up. Mm-hmm. We get to control how we respond. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as I think about this, and I definitely want to be sensitive to this matter because these are traumatic experiences that you went through. It's people who are watching this who have gone through traumatic experiences. Oh, yeah. And so, like, I'm not trying to diminish that
absolutely not.
And, like, you know, I respect and I see that and I understand the feeling around that and how it can completely shift and alter your life and your being and your existence, right? But what you told me is you were able to take that moment, look at that moment, and take the story from around that moment and, like, not live in the story.
Yeah.
Like, the incident and the story we tell ourselves about the incident are two different things.
Yeah, it's really good. Really good to recognize that, yeah.
Yes, and so many times, like, the accident is over. Miles has, like, you have some healing, you have some ability to move and, like, step into life the way you want to. And so the moment is over.
Yeah.
But the story can live on forever.
Yeah, exactly.
And most people stay stuck in the story of it.
Yeah, no, it's actually, and it really speaks to you as well, because a lot of people don't get that, and it is a very high level of self-awareness and understanding as a human being on this planet to understand that it's never what happens. It is the story. It is, and you're saying the exact same words that I would share with anyone. It is a story. You can tell, you will believe whatever story you tell yourself about it, because the same event could have two different outcomes based on the story. And here's an example. There's a story that I always share, especially with, like, younger individuals, about there's two brothers. One brother goes out and is, you know, drug addicted, and, you know, drinking alcoholism, and in and out of jail, just not great life. His brother, they lived in the same house, and the brother's super successful, mega successful, you know, wealthy, great, you know, marriage, great life. And they both get interviewed. The successful person gets interviewed first, and they go, like, man, your father, like, how did you become who you became? Because from what we've heard, they did research on them. Your father was an alcoholic and, you know, drug addicted and, you know, all these different things. And the brother that's, like, super successful goes, well, what do you think? Mm-hmm. I mean, my dad was an alcoholic and drug addicted and, you know, would beat up, you know, so, like, dude, that was the only, there's no way I was going to be like that. I couldn't, there's no way. Mm-hmm. Right. They asked the other brother the same thing.
Yeah.
How did you, I mean, you know, what do you think his response was? What do you think? You know, my dad's alcoholic, you know, drug addicted. And
of course I'm going to be like that.
Dude, of course, you know. So the reality is that it was the same experience for both parties, but one person told themselves a different story. You know, whether that story was like, you know, this isn't the way I want to live my life. This is the way life shouldn't be. I can be better than this. I can be bigger than this. This is his story. This is his experience. It doesn't have to be my story. Whatever it is, it was something you told yourself that you believe. Because, see, like, that's the thing. Anything we believe, we adopted that from somewhere. Everything. Every single thing. There's not one. When you were born into this world, you were literally crying. You didn't know anything. Mm-hmm. So everything, and sometimes we think we are the ones that create. No, dude, everything you believe, you've adopted somewhere. So if there's a belief system that doesn't facilitate where you want to go in life, you can unlearn that.
Yeah.
And the reality is people don't think, or people don't realize, like they tell themselves this thing because they think that's what it is. Mm-hmm. And it that's not what it is, yes. Right? It is that's what you make it.
Right.
It, like you can change that mindset in the story. It just takes being intentional about, you know, some practical things on how to do that can help. And that would be the other side. So obviously, as I was saying, one side of it is like the faith side that really helped me really get through that. But the other side is just actual practical personal development. Like, right. Like, I mean, again, that was one of the reasons why I didn't finish college is like, man, I went on a just deep, deep journey of just personal growth. I mean, I can name every, I mean, dude, Les Brown, John C. Maxwell, Darren Hardy, T. Harv Eker, Bob Proctor, Jim Rohn. I mean, I could just go on and on. List of people that I just read the books and
information. Just all,
yeah, it rewires your thinking, and it is like powerful for a reason because your mind is so powerful. We don't realize it baffles me how many people on a regular basis don't grow personally. They don't even know the people. They just don't personally develop. They just live life and expect things get better or things change because time moves on. Mm-hmm. And if time changed everything, I mean, come on, how many people we know that are in their 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, nothing's changed. It's the same old, right? So it's not time that changes anything. Mm-hmm. It's your actual intentionality and the things that you practice and the behavior and the mindset that produces that. And, you know, I'm all about like just metaphors and just trying to break it down for people, you know, especially anyone who's watching this is like, if you don't believe that, I mean, I try to break it down into like real life situations. Imagine you're dreaming, right? Mm-hmm. And you're being chased and it's like a scary dream, you know? I mean, isn't it true that, you know, you could like wake up and you're like breathing, you're like sweating, you're like, you're not like this crazy dream. You're like, you know, like, oh my God, this dream. Isn't that interesting that you were dreaming? You were in the comfort of your bed. You weren't even nothing was actually happening to you, but your body is physically producing sweat. Mm. Your mind thinks it's so real.
Like it's in danger.
It is physically doing things. Like you're mm-hmm. producing, it is increasing your actual heart rate. Like your physical body is actually happening because nothing is actually really happening. You're like in the bed, just chilling. You're just like in the bed. But your body is literally responding to this, like physically in real life, because your brain is so powerful. That's why I try to share that, because it just kind of puts in perspective how powerful your brain really is. So mm-hmm. anyway, so the me today, the miles that everyone did, that was already in the mind, right? Again, it's just the mind is so strong because it was there. It's just getting the body to respond. Just like when you're being chased and you're dreaming, your body then responds to what your brain thinks is so real. So if you could learn how to do that in a positive and constructive way, I mean, there's just nothing that can stop. Dude, if anything, if it didn't kill you, it'd make you stronger. I mean, there's just nothing that will, I mean, you know, if anything, it's like, dude, the enemy's probably mad. He's like real mad. He's like, dang, this made it even worse.
Yes.
Right? Because I'm going to go even harder. You know what I mean? It's just, you know.
And so that's one of like the main takeaways I want people to receive from this is that you can rewrite your story.
Yeah.
You can be in control of your narrative of how you respond to something and what that like means to you.
Right.
And so I think that's so powerful, Miles. And I hope like people get a chance to actually sit down and do that work. Because like you said, like we just magically think things are going to happen and things are going to change. But I always say nothing changes if nothing changes. And it's just that simple.
It's really that simple.
Right? But even I think about, so like I said, I was in my accident. This was my junior year of high school. And so I was out of school for 3 months. Like I said, I had like my walker, like it was tough.
It's tough. Right? It's tough.
It was definitely tough.
At that time, for sure,
I was in so much pain. And, you know, it got to a point where I was in my schedule. I was, like I said, home every day. My brother would, like, cook me breakfast. And before he would leave, he would bring me lunch, like, set lunch on the bed. I would watch TV all day. My mom would usually like come home earlier from work. But then in the evenings, like my friends would come and like awesome. We would, you know, would come to the house and we would sit and hang out and stuff like that. And so I think there was a part of me that started to like enjoy like all the like the attention, right? Yeah. People doing things for me or it's like the, oh, whoa, like Michelle is down, like she needs help type of situation, right? And one night one of my friends was over my house and we're sitting downstairs. And I get up without my walker, right? I get up and I just like make one or two steps and nothing major. But he was like, you can walk? And I was like, I can't walk, right? But like I can do a couple steps, but I could probably do a little bit more than what I was like
that's good.
Probably pushing myself to do, right? Because I mean, I got comfortable in the like everyone taking care of me and like now the world revolved around my story of Michelle got in this terrible accident, her hips fractured, she's out of school. Like, you know, it just comes with a lot of, I don't know, attention, right? From outside people, also internally, it makes you feel a type of way. And I think so many times, like, people find like power in the sympathy. Right? They're empowered by that. And so, again, it's not even about the accident. It's about the story and then what they create around the story of I can't do this. I don't know. It's like the I can't move feels good. It's an excuse. But it doesn't feel like an excuse at the moment because I'm really down. You know? So
I mean it just it goes back to our brain tries to protect us as much as possible and you know, it's just, it's a conglomerate of things. Fear of failure, you know, like, you know, there's the, like you said, sympathetic aspect of it. We just like to kind of be served. It feels good to kind of have people
good
to
be
love
down.
On you and just kind of, and just relax and not have to do anything and have a reason to not go do something.
These are valid, you have a valid excuse to sit in bed and not do anything.
And see, and again, it's a story you tell yourself because isn't that true? Like, every day it is hard, right? I have to wake up and it's like going to war every single day. I gotta strap up stuff. I gotta put stuff on my, I gotta put this on. Like most people, you just hop out of bed. You get most people just wake up, get out of bed and go in the bath. Like it is not that way, right? I have so much stuff. So there's so many reasons, like you said, for me, I should be able to just sleep till noon. I don't need to be getting up early. Dude, I get up early every morning. Like,
you don't
like
have
my
to
wife
work.
Said, I don't have to. Dude,
you would get disability, right?
I could do. It's to the point where I can't. It's not even to the point. I never even got disability. I never even got the stimulus thing that everyone got. I mean, so I made too much income to where I don't get anything. But again, for me, that was like my mindset is to, again, it's the story. To some people, these are reasons not to thrive. But to me, it's the reason too, because I have the opportunity. So for me, I go, yes, these things make it hard and challenging, but there are people, it can always be worse. Again, it's just what story do you tell yourself? And that's something that helps me because it allows me to move forward because it gives me, instead of sympathetic reasons to just stay where I am, what it does is it gives me empowering reasons to move forward because here is the reality. There are people with two legs that are gone. There are people with no legs, no arms.
There's people
you know, there's people
born.
That are born there. We could go down the list of all the things, right? So it could always be worse. So yes, is it not fun? Is it hard? Is it challenging for me? Absolutely. But hey, I get the opportunity to continue to do what I'm doing. So that's a reason for me to get that. That's my reason to go do this. Like, wait a minute, I can wake up at 6 a.m., 5 a.m., 7 a.m. and go hit the gym and, you know, get with my students or, you know, look at deals and try and build wealth and build an empire, real, you know, all these different things. I get the opportunity to go do, where other people they can't even do that. Right. So, but what does that mean? Does it mean that my story is easier, better? It just means that's the story I tell myself that allows me to do. So it's like we said, it's all about, it's never about what happens. It's just, what's the story you're willing to believe? And if that story keeps you, you know, comfortable, if it keeps you at bay, it keeps you safe, it keeps you not going out and really, then that's fine. That's what it does for you. You can tell yourself that story and that's what, but if you want more, if you want to thrive, if you want to be on the side, there's a different story you have to tell yourself for you to get there. And for the individuals that want that, they just tell themselves a different story. That's all. It has nothing to do about capability. If anything, I'm way less capable to do so many other things that other people. I mean, dude, I shot a wedding. You go on my, there's, it's funny, even photographers and videographers that struggle with building a bit, like, my last wedding was in Belize. You can go on my Instagram. I'm literally like dancing with my prosthetic leg. I got one arm. I can't even use two hands. And I shot the wedding and I had like literally, they had booked me a long time before the accident happened. Yeah, they booked me and this is like a destination wedding. This is like, I have to go shoot that. There's no way. I can't just
hold on. You said, yeah. I had to go shoot this wedding. No, you didn't have to go shoot this wedding.
I'm sure there would have been people that are like totally like, hey, I get it, you know, but to me, I was like, dude, I have to shoot that wedding. It wasn't even the destination. I mean, I had traveled. That was my last wedding. I've traveled all over shooting weddings. You know, Canada, Mexico, all types of places. But I shot it because, again, I just was like, that's not an excuse to not, you know, go execute and go perform. If anything, that's a reason I need to go do this because there's someone else who wouldn't even have this opportunity. And, yes, it makes it more challenging, more difficult. But anyway, so yeah, it's just like the story you tell yourself.
I didn't know about this wedding, but like I said, I feel the accident happened, you did 6 months of therapy, and then shortly after that, I saw you online galvanizing your real estate community. Mm-hmm. You are making real estate deals, buying land, acres. I think you just like bought 21 acres.
15 acres, yeah.
15
yeah.
acres, yeah, yeah. Bought a new home for your family. You're teaching other people real estate to help them have like financial security. Yeah, like you have a whole community that's following you that Miles is supporting. And it's just like, This is so enlightening.
Yeah, it's not about me. It's how can I, my goal in life is all about how can I level up other people. So if this happens to me, and like you said, I could sit in a world of sympathy and have everyone, okay, now everyone come, you know,
cater to
this is now it's my life, my story. And like, no. Yo, get up, do what you need to do. I need to go help you. And it's like the Zig Ziglar, you know, for you help enough people get what they want, yours comes automatically. So obviously all these things that I'm doing, yes, it sounds all great, but it's really because I'm just helping a lot of people, obviously, like, you know, just kind of level up in their life and change and, you know, so,
And I mean, that's such a beautiful share. It's like, yes, like, I know all the love felt good, the outpouring of the likes and the comments and the prayers, like thousands of people were like sharing this and talking, you know, like involved in this process with you. But I think it's just so powerful. And like I said, I don't want to diminish anyone's experience.
Right, for sure. And that's not what we're doing.
I know people are here and they have suffered traumatic things. I don't know what they are, right? Oh, yeah. And I don't know what you live through. And I'm saying I see you and I get it, but you can choose to show up the way you want to and create and impact and build and thrive as you're truly purposed to be.
Yeah.
Not because of something happened to you, because this is how you choose to live.
Yeah.
And that's what this conversation was about, Miles. That's what this moment was about.
Yeah, I love it.
And I mean, you've gained so much from this experience, right? And I want people to be able to take that away and use that and take that in their everyday lives, whatever, however big or small it may be, right? It may not be as traumatic as this, but we're all dealing with something.
Exactly, yes.
And whatever that something is, I pray that people have a release, that they can let it go, and that they can choose the path that's ultimate for them. Mm-hmm. And so, thank you. And then this is another thing. So lastly, because I was talking to your wife yesterday, I was like, Denise, okay, I'll see you tomorrow. And she was like, oh Miles is going to drive himself 2.5 hours from Greenville to Atlanta. I was like, what? I am completely blown by this man.
That's
but
so funny.
Miles, you're an inspiration. Thank you so much. I'm so appreciative of your friendship that life brought us together.
I know.
This was meant to be. Kudos to Denise because your wife held you down.
Yes,
I can't imagine
That's a whole nother,
who she had to be in this process for you as well. And so, Denise, I know you're not here, but thank you so much because you helped make this happen.
Look, can I just share a little?
Go for it.
This is how amazing of a wife you really need to have. So everyone's like, oh, she fine. She what?
She's a beautiful woman.
I mean, like you're looking at someone because they just look good. It's not about the exterior. They need to have the, you know what I mean. And here. Although she's obviously amazing and beautiful, obviously, but the idea is like her heart. That's what I really, just was attracted to. This is kind of more on the comical side, but it is the reality. And just pointing back again, like you said, having a wife that I do, I literally, it might, whatever. Hey, we're being honest and open, and it is what it is. It's the story. Yeah, there were many weeks where I couldn't even like wipe my own behind, dude. I mean, my wife, like a baby. Like, mm-hmm. literally, you'd go to the restroom and she would literally have to clean me up.
Yeah.
I mean, the type of wife, and no, never complained, never, like, just always, I mean, it's just, it's insane, you know, because I'm just thinking, like, oh my gosh, you know, that's like when you're 70, 80, 90 years old, whatever.
Right, but, you don't expect life to happen.
Yeah,
like
we're
this.
In our 20s, like, we're young, and my wife, you know, is like having to take care of her husband, like, you know, he's like 90 years old, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and no complaining, and we had, yep, and
oh,
had
now
a baby.
You have two babies. Now,
yeah, I know. So, just a rock star of a heart, and that's why it's so important to, you know, we don't need to get into all that, but just relationally and relationship, you know, just be around people that, you know, really have the right mindset, have the right heart, that are there for you. Yeah, and just not other exogenous reasons and factors that are just money, status, class, all these other things, like, just, you know, yeah. It's really important, you know. So, anyway, but yeah, she's
yes,
the bomb.
She is the bomb. We got you, Denise. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mouse.
Yeah,
I appreciate
you
so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is good. I hope you enjoyed this conversation. Make sure you like, subscribe, and share with a friend. But the conversation is just the beginning. If you're ready to take action to step in your purpose and create the life and business of your dreams, I'm ready to support you along the journey. Head over to thejourneywithblue.com to learn how you can apply to work with me and create results you're proud of. I'll see you next time on The Journey with Blue.